going to do 2 hours tonight, Erica and I. We have so much material we want to present. Todd, can you give me a little more audio on that end? I think I'm weak on this end. I've got it pumped up all the way. Let's see here. Gotta laugh. This cell phone I got is never-ending source of amusement. Or is it bemusement? Or is it demusement? Sometimes I can't figure it out. All right. Do I know how to use it fully yet? Nope. Just trying to blunder my way through it. Now, there's a lot going on, and we talked about tonight we were going to read some of the social media accounts of people who have been injured, wounded, abused, crippled, killed, and otherwise completely destroyed by these bioweapon shots. They were never designed to be a vaccine. And I again want to call out every doctor who's on our side. That means, you know, a good guy or a good gal who keeps calling these things vaccines. They're not. We've got to stop that. That's mind control stuff. We've got to stop. These are bioweapons. That's what they are. No other way to look at it. Tonight's news. Let me see if I've got... Oh, I knew. Hi, Erica. You there?
Hi, Jeff. I'm here.
How you been?
Oh, hanging in there.
What you been doing?
Well, just...
You should go buy yourself...
Trying to stay out of the fray.
Buy yourself a couple cookies. Go have some fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
All right. Let's see. Where is this now? Oh, I had it. First, we have to do a little monkeypox. Okay. Our monkeypox update for the night. Let's just call it monkey business. Our monkey business update for the night. First monkeypox patient to go public suspects he caught the virus from one of, this is in quotes, that's what he said, around 10 recent sex partners. Gay sex partners. At that. So, they're trying to push this in a corner now, a homosexual corner. We'll see how long that lasts. I don't know if
now that ought
people...
to be interesting. I don't know if this is going to segue into HIV in some manner.
See how we put these things together? We brought out this whole thing. They're going to use HIV as a culprit to blame hundreds of millions of people's AIDS condition on. Oh, you've got HIV. And if you think we were kidding, just go look on Google, Gurgle, Gaggle, Gargle. Go look on Gargle and look up home HIV test kits. Prepare to be surprised. They are ready to roll. And what's this about an HIV vaccine they suddenly have been talking about? Anything new on that?
Oh, that's not sudden. There are already a couple candidates in trials, one of which is an mRNA. And they're also testing out the CRISPR technology to see if they can go after the gene of interest and excise it. So there's people enrolled in those trials. There are so many of these trials going on now, it's frightening.
If any of you out there are involved in any of these trials and haven't been sworn to secrecy, or maybe you used to be involved in one of any significance, we'd like to talk to you or learn more about this. These people never seem to be in public. I think they've been paid too well. And I say, if you talk, you owe us the money back, and they have to sign a contract. I'm guessing. But
well,
I
think that the typical participant that they tend to go after are people of low economic means that are desperate for money. And the compensation is not very much for what they're risking for these coronavirus, SARS, COVID vaccines, I think the maximum compensation was like $1,200. Which I guess if you're hurting for money. Yeah, everyone now is doing it for free. So the initial participants actually got a deal if they survived.
If they survive, very interesting.
But a lot of these people that are, I don't know, that these trials tend to attract, mm-hmm. don't have the educational background to make a really informed decision.
Right.
And I don't even know how well the risks are relayed to these people.
And most of the people that get involved in these tests, I think they're pretty easy targets, like you say. They're easily confused or, you know, the money talks. They'll
right.
take the money. They don't care. And
right.
I do think they're probably having to sign an NDA of some kind.
Possibly.
That would be my guess, because you never hear of these people. No, I've never seen one interview that I can remember of somebody saying, yep, I was in that test, or I was in that trial. No, I just don't see it.
No, you don't see it. And, you know, they're also being conducted in these third world countries, and, you know, are they giving these people informed consent, or are they just going into a village and rounding them up and telling them to take a shot?
That could be as well.
But, you know, it isn't just the mRNA. That's a big one. They've been chomping at the bit to test this out in humans. But we also have these other recombinant ones, such as, well, the adenovirus. That's the most well-known at this point. That's a live virus, but we can genetically modify it to have the genes of a coronavirus spike protein. They're using the vaccinia virus. They're using a rabies-type virus. They're using a measles virus. And there's even an H1N1 influenza virus. All of these are being genetically modified to carry genes of different viruses. Right now it's, you know, the coronavirus spike protein, mm-hmm. toxic spike protein.
Hey,
but
the sky's the limit.
Cases, these are replicating, not replication deficient, but actually replicating vaccines. So that means that if the person's immune system can't control what's been injected into them, they have a productive infection, they shed the stuff into the environment, and you could seed another outbreak of who knows what.
I don't remember. You told me, I think it was 205. Was that the number?
Yeah, that's just for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the vaccine.
Okay, now for everyone out there, what she's saying, the SARS-CoV-2 has 205 competitors that are alleging to be producing another, excuse the expression, vaccine.
Yeah, all
205 candidates. Yes.
There's ones that are just mRNA. There's ones that are DNA. We haven't really seen any of those come to market yet, but I think there's a couple maybe in phase two, maybe even phase three trials right now. There's a whole bunch of recombinant ones that's using other viruses as vectors to carry the genes of the spike protein. Then there's some killed or inactivated ones, whole mm-hmm. ones. There's attenuated ones. There's one in the UK right now. What's it called? Codagenics, which is actually the SARS virus, but they've modified it so that it's not as lethal. It's alive.
So
it's an intranasal thing. They'll spray it up your nose, and hopefully you can deal with that without coming down with prion disease.
Well, not to worry if you're in Australia. Here's what's going on in Australia. Maybe you hear this one. Australia. Where did it go? Australia has announced that they are going to begin involuntarily spraying the public with the vaccine. And they actually use the word chemtrails in the story. They're going to spray the public
unbelievable.
En masse. They claim they're going to start out with something else, but they're going to switch over to the big one.
So that's incredible. I mean, not that that sort of thing hasn't been going on surreptitiously
since
all along
the 50s.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But now it's just, you know, open season on humanity. I mean,
wide open. All right, what is this music? See if you sharp-eared listeners know this. Can you hear that?
I can hear it.
Beethoven, Symphony No. 7, the second movement. It's called the Funeral Dirge, Funeral March. But it comes to mind when you read, or have someone like we are going to do tonight, read to you some of these horrific stories which never make the mainstream media. Of course not. We're not surprised. They're not going to tell us. When it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and it doesn't exist. So Australia announcing they're going to use chem spraying to vaccinate the public. Lots of fun things out there. And it's not, as Erica said, that they're just going to do this for the first time. Oh, they've sprayed us since 1950 or 51 that we know about. And they did use spraying programs in World War II to a limited degree. So, yeah, we're talking 70-year-old plus technology. So we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. But
no, you know, they put fluoride in the drinking water. So what's the difference, right?
You ever seen anybody do that? I had a video of that, and it showed a guy at a municipal water plant. This is drinking water for the town. And there must have been 20 bags, you know, 50-pound sacks stacked up. And the reporter said, "You know, are all those fluoride?" "Yeah." Where do you get them?" "Well, they come from China." And then they showed him opening the bag and dumping it right into the drinking water. And
yeah,
we trust the Chinese?
Yep.
Wow. Okay, where would you like to start tonight? Shall we start with our CJD and kind of follow up on those stories?
Yeah, that would be good because, Children's Health Defense and I believe Epoch Times both published articles regarding Luc Montagnier's paper on the on these new cases of CJD. It was originally a preprint a few months ago, and now it's been revised following some peer review. And so it's gaining some traction, gaining some attention, and it was posted in one of the CJD groups online, which brought a number of people out of the woodwork. Normally, it's a little bit taboo to talk about the connection with CJD and the injections, but since somebody posted the article, that spurred quite a bit of conversation, and there was no shortage of people that insist that their loved ones who had either, you know, they're either struggling with the illness at present or have since passed away were perfectly healthy prior to getting these vaccines, and they noticed a downturn almost immediately. So it's hard to think there's not a connection. I mean, you know, the rates of CJD can vary from year to year. But even the moderator of one of the groups said that she is just astonished at the number of people asking to be admitted to the group. I mean, group itself has been in existence since 2018, and it's, you know, it's had a little bit of activity, but nothing out of the ordinary. But this last 6 months or so, the number of people wanting in is really spiked. So what changed?
What changed indeed? Airborne prions, airborne CJD, CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, is mad cow. It is transmissible spongiform encephalopathy. It's bovine spongiform encephalopathy. It's also VCJD. It's also NVCJD. It's also CWD, chronic wasting disease. That's the name they gave for deer that have CJD. It's all the same. These are misfolded prions that destroy the brain and any other organ in the body. We don't want you to just think brain here. CJD, as it's usually talked about, pertains to brain illness, but it can be anywhere in the body. Prion proteins are on the run, on the loose. So what do we have here? Airborne prions make for 100% lethal whiff.
Yeah, so that was an article from a couple years ago. Was it 2011. Yeah, looking at, you know, ways that prions are transmitted. And it was thought prior to this study that was conducted that it was mostly, you had to ingest them. Maybe if it was going to be transmitted, they had to be ingested. But this researcher found out that, nope, they can be aerosolized. And all it takes is one whiff of these things to trigger the disease.
Fact, that's 11 years ago now, okay? So the word has been out.
Let me read just a tiny bit. So there is airborne transmission.
Yes, there is. That's why we suggest masks. Not all day, right? Just go into a store, 20 minutes. Take it off when you're outside, you're fine. When sprayed into the air, prions that cause mad cow and other neurodegenerative diseases may be in one of their most lethal forms when sprayed into the air. A new study has revealed one short exposure to sprayed prions can be 100% lethal in mice, mammals, lungs, hearts, liver, kidneys, mice. While the discovery doesn't present any foreseeable public health threat, who wrote this? Mr. Mosier? Pardon me, Mr. Mosier, if someone has CJD in their brain or in their lungs or whatever, in their throat, and they cough, sneeze, or exhale in your face, how would you feel? Safe and secure? I don't think so. While the discovery, writes Mr. Mosier, does not present any foreseeable public health threat, it comes as a surprise to scientists who study prion-based diseases and calls existing safety rules for laboratories and slaughterhouses into question. Well, okay, so we're going to worry about the laboratory and the slaughterhouse, but we're not going to worry about the supermarkets or the classrooms. Common knowledge is that prions aren't airborne and can't cause infection that way, said neuropathologist Adriano Aguzzi. Well, how do you pronounce it?
Aguzzi,
of the University Hospital of Zurich. He said, "We were totally surprised and also a bit frightened at how efficient airborne infections were." That's 11 years ago. Most infectious diseases are spread by bacteria or viruses. Oh, excuse me, there are no such things as viruses. which use genes to copy themselves. But prions are a third form of disease discovered in 1982, and they're made only of misfolded proteins. Remember our little fibrils, our little threads made of misfolded proteins that turn into self-aggregating, bigger threads that turn into amyloid clots? Remember the term? The molecules resemble regular proteins found in the brain cells and other nervous tissues, but their abnormal shape converts healthy proteins into long fibrils that ultimately kill cells. Like a chain reaction, fibrils create more prions. Like a chain reaction, fibrils made of misfolded proteins create more prions until the host dies from destroyed brain and nervous tissue. All prion infections are 100% fatal, and symptoms appear suddenly months or years after infection. Now, fast forward to today. Where are we? Where are we with prions being spread?
Well,
that's a general overview.
People that have been looking at the spike protein and characterizing it have determined unequivocally that there are prion domains on the spike, and that can cause, that can act as a seed to cause the misfolding of your proteins. And now you've, you know, if you cannot stay on top of those misfolded proteins, then you're very highly likely to get Creutzfeldt-Jakob, perhaps Parkinson's, right. Alzheimer's. Yeah, I mean, any number of these neurodegenerative conditions, if it happens in a nerve cell, and the spike protein is attracted to nerve cells, neurons.
So it likes nerve tissue.
Yes.
Although prions infect... Go ahead.
Go ahead. You go.
Although prions infect only 1 to 2 people per million... Now, this is 11 years ago. And I'll bet you it's a hell of a lot different now. In the United States each year, as much as 15% of deer in some Colorado populations, well, let me update you, Mr. Mosier, there are prion-carrying deer now in over 30 states, carry chronic wasting disease. Such diseases spread via infected body fluids and tissue, yet only inconclusive evidence on airborne transmission existed until now. This is 11 years ago. You can safely say with 100% surety now that someone suffering from a prion disease is quite potentially able to spread that with an exhalation, a cough, a sneeze, in any body fluid, including urine. If you happen to hear our program last night about the new misdirection, urine therapy, to correct those nasty bioweapon injections. So that's out, and we're going to sit on it real hard. This is not good. We have prions in the air. They could spray these things. Just understand that the sky's the limit, as I said a little while ago. It's wide open.
Yeah, this may be part, I mean, I'm sure it is part of the intention of this bioweapon is to be a nerve toxin like this and induce either amyloidosis or prion disease, where you basically instigate the misfolding of your own proteins and over time, whatever organs or tissues are having that happen, and they just malfunction and you die.
A lot of people are dying of SADS now, sudden adult death syndrome. Lots of them. They go to sleep, they don't wake up. They fall down, dead. So we have this as this thing continues to manifest all through society. It doesn't matter what country you're in. I'm sure it's everywhere, or most everywhere. We're going to have to continually update you on all kinds of new things. As Dr. Blaylock said, we're seeing diseases now that we've never seen or rarely seen before. And some of them will not even have a name. This whole takedown of the human immunological system is opening the door to catastrophe.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, anybody that tells you this is just another flu has no idea. I mean, they just have not done the research on this spike protein.
If I might, I want to take just a moment. Dick Allgaier wasn't on this month. Dick got it, whatever it is, and he has been extremely ill. He went to the hospital to get two bags of IV and then said, I'm leaving. He knew what they might do. He's home. He appears to be getting better, but I have never spoken to anyone any sicker than Richard has been. He could hardly talk. And it's been a real difficult thing. So all of you out there, hold a thought for Dick and wish him a speedy, full recovery. He's really been through it. Whatever this thing is out there, it is a nasty son of a bitch. It's bad.
Well, they do say that as Gerrit van den Bosch has been saying all along, that the mistake has been to vaccinate in the midst of a so-called pandemic with a leaky vaccine.
Right.
These people who are vaxxed are generating immune escape variants. So what's out there, what's circulating now, has evolved to evade normal immune defenses. So whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And I think that, he's predicting, Gerrit van den Bosch is predicting, it's going to get to a point where it's almost 100% lethal if something isn't done.
It being...
The virus, the bioweapon that was created in a lab a couple of years ago and unleashed. We still don't know how it was introduced into the public. I mean, that's still...
Kind of doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter. You're right. But now it's coming through a needle. The worst part of it is coming through a needle.
Mm-hmm.
People are amplifying it and causing it to acquire attributes that make it more virulent.
Right. Back to the paper, just for a little bit, then we're going to start reading some things for you. To see if airborne prions could cause infection in mammals, Aguchi and his team exposed several small groups of mice to different concentrations and exposure times of aerosolized prions that cause scrapie. Now, scrapie is mad cow in sheep. That's where it originally they think came from, but no one knows for sure. Sheep brains. And people would eat that, especially in what the culture, Southeast Asia, I forget where. Anyway, scrapie was a big problem. And then they began grinding up sheep and turning it into cattle feed and feeding it to the cattle. Well, the proteins didn't mind the ride at all. They happily were ground up. It didn't bother them any. And they were put in the feed. Just protein, officially, of course, protein feed. All mice except one group, which was exposed to a very light concentration of prions, got infected and died 150 to 200 days after exposure. When it came to a lethal dose, the researchers also found that prion concentration didn't matter as much as exposure time. Exposure time. A group of four mice exposed for 1 minute to a light dose of prion-infected fluid, for example, died from scrapie, mad cow, in about 200 days. Other forms of prion exposure typically require high concentrations of them to do anything. So the doctor said the lethality wasn't what he expected. Roughly 100,000 times more prions, for example, are required to cause an infection through the mouth, oral ingestion, compared to brain-to-brain contamination. That's the part of the reason why we don't see more cases of prion diseases. So it's tough to go out on a date and have brain-to-brain contamination and pass prions, unless you're in a terrible car crash. So I don't know where this is. This is 11 years ago. It'd be interesting to hear Dr. Aguchi talk about this now, 11 years
later.
Yeah,
he's a very published author. You can look him up on Google Scholar or ResearchGate, and he's published quite a bit on the topic of prions. But again, I you know, it brings to mind these bottle brushes that they're using to extract a sample from people's sinus cavities. You know, they're putting that right up into the, well, the area right below the brain plate, where
what's
the olfactory nerves are.
What's that called? Cribriform
plate. Yep.
Plate. Okay.
And that's very, you know, endowed with nerves. That's mm-hmm. where the olfactory nerves are. And that is where they believe how some people acquire the virus. Now, if you're harboring that virus in your nose, but you're not yet sick, you haven't been infected, it's just sitting in your nose, and they go and they stick a bottle brush up there and start turning it and twisting it and shoving it deeper and deeper, I think that is how many people are getting infected.
Good call. Good call. They're walking around doing life, inhaling like most people do, exhaling, and things collect in the nose. They get stuck to the mucous membrane. They're hanging out there. They're still alive. And here comes the bottle brush.
And they're very brutal when they do it, some of these. I mean, they're not well trained, and they miss. And there's been cases where people are bleeding afterwards. And the worst is when they start leaking the cerebral spinal fluid because they've punctured something.
That's true, too, that has happened. And that is horrifying to think about.
If this is a prion-generating virus, which parts of the spike protein have these sites on them that can cause that to happen, and now they've punctured, perforated, you know, a protective membrane and introduced it right next to nerve tissue, there you go.
Okay, let me say one other thing. I don't want to embarrass Erica, but she knows so much more than any of you listening will ever know, and she withholds it. She's not playing games, but it's very heavy science, and it's not something for a talk radio program. But this woman is a wizard in her field. And if you don't know, her field is biophysiology with a strong emphasis in nanotechnology. But she is incredible. So we are keeping these things at a level where I'm confident and comfortable that you all can understand. And there's no reason to go much deeper for our needs. But just keep that in mind. We have the best with us. And I'm very grateful that she is here. Very grateful you are there and caring about this. Because if you didn't, who would? There are a lot of hucksters out there now playing savior media docs, saviors. They're going to tell us the truth. So they're telling us now that Dr. Butter or Buttar, yes, drink a cup of your own every morning. And Dr. Amanda Vollmer says she does it every day. She puts it on her skin. She does her hair with it. Well, I find that somewhat suspicious. It's not what you'd call a hard science, because urine is not sterile. Urine has prions in it. So drink up. And now they're talking about recipes to make it more like lemonade, I guess. I don't know.
You can disguise it in a smoothie or a cocktail of some sort and just get it into you.
Don't try that on me. Gosh.
I am aware of, not personally, but I've read of people who swear by this, that this is the thing that cured them of whatever. I don't know. Maybe that's their experience. I can't find a good reason for it. I mean, there's lots of things that we can do that make us feel good at the moment. I mean, I can sit down and have a hot fudge sundae and I'm going to feel great. Does that mean it's good for me? Should I do that every day? There's people that sniff airplane glue and it makes them feel great. Does that mean they should do it every day? I, you know, so I this argument that I feel so much better when I do it. I don't know. I'd want to see some more objective data.
Well, yeah, I don't want to go into it, but look up urine therapy if you want to understand why people think it works. But it has, in fact, prions in it. Okay.
Yes, you can test for prions using urine.
Yes.
And CWD, the chronic wasting disease in deer, elk, moose, is spread through urine.
And in the grass, in the grasses, in the plants.
Yeah,
in
it
the
can
trees.
Be uptaken into the plants and eaten that way. It's got a long life. It's virtually indestructible. That's the problem.
And it
maintains its infectiousness
mm-hmm.
for prolonged periods of time in spite of a wide range of environmental conditions. It simply doesn't break down.
And now we're going to say this again. We said it last night, but I don't know how many states have okayed it, but they are liquefying the deceased and using that liquid in agrarian capacity. They're using it to mix with water and they're flooding the fields of crops with this stuff. Now, what's wrong with that beside everything? The body is full of proteins like what we've been discussing and other things that do not go away. They're still there. So you're going to put that in the ground like the deer do when they urinate on the ground. It goes in the grass. It comes up. They're going to do that with it. Somebody dies of CJD and they liquefy that body and they end up pouring that somehow into a larger water container. Maybe they mix it. I don't know. And then they spray it on the crops. And they also take bodies and do what with them? They make them into kind of like a bag of fertilizer. It's dry.
Yeah. Wasn't there a herd of, I don't know, was it elk or deer or something that was determined
Canadian
to have...
Canadian elk farmer. I know the whole story.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let him or anyone farm on that property for indefinitely, right?
Yeah. What they said, he was raising elk to get the antlers for the Asian market for sexual enhanced drugs. And that's what they use it for. So anyway, his elk got sick, a couple of them, and the Canadian officials, this is 20 years ago, came out and said, well, a whole herd has to be put down. You have to dig a big hole, kill them all, and bury them. And the farmer said, damn. He said, well, I got insurance, so my insurance will cover for the loss of the livestock. I guess I'll just go to raising rapeseed or canola, whatever you want to call it. And they said, no, you're not going to raise anything. These elk have been on this property, hundreds of acres, and this property is now condemned. You may not do anything with this property because the urine put it in the soil and it came up in the grass and he could not plow the fields and plant anything. Proteins don't go away.
Not these types.
So there you go. All right. We've been talking CJD, so why don't you go ahead and let's start on the CJD file.
All right. So here's some comments on the heels of this article that was printed in Children's Health Defense yesterday. So the title of the article was COVID Vaccines Linked to New Type of Incurable Fatal Degenerative Brain Disorder. And they're referring to CJD.
Isn't it funny how they didn't put that in there? I would think that they would have been honest and just put it in there. Fatal Degenerative Brain Disorder, otherwise known as CJD. But they didn't. They left it off. I think that was stupid, frankly. I'll leave it at that. Go ahead.
Well, maybe, there are people that have no idea what that is. They've never heard of it.
Well, how about
I think it's going to become a household word.
Right.
Okay, so the first person says, I wouldn't doubt it. Second person says, I don't know you, but I lost my mom to CJD a month ago. She was 66. She had the J&J shot. Can't help but wonder. Another one says, this is 200% why my father is dying. Another one says, my dad also got the J&J in March of 2021. He is dying from this horrible disease. His symptoms started soon after being vaccinated. Another one says, my mom got the first shot in April and was dead by July.
I'm sorry. And these people can't connect the dots.
And then the first one says, my mom only had one, no booster. Within months, symptoms, week after she was gone. Let's see.
You're on number two?
I'm on number three now.
Okay, go ahead, finish three. Number four is my favorite number, so I'll do that.
All right. Another one says, I'm almost certain this is what happened to my mom, too. Had her first shot in February 2021, a second dose in March, then started having anxiety and sleeping more and more. Made it through the summer and fall with bouts of not feeling herself and anxiety mixed in. Then in December, knew something was really wrong. Checked into the hospital around Christmas for 2 weeks, and when she came out, was basically in hospice care at home with us.
Jeez.
Still precious times we had after we got her out, but definitely feel robbed as she was in perfect health, the doctor said. It's really hard not to be angry and want justice. She passed January 29th. So that's less than a year, 11 months from the first shot.
Mm.
Another one says, this is almost my mom exactly. Okay, your turn.
This is all just amazing. Honestly, number four is my favorite number, everybody. Just trying to get along. Okay. Laura writes, they don't like you talking about the possibility that the vaccine can trigger CJD and other prion diseases. My mom's neurologist and her whole family agree the vaccine is what triggered it in my mother and then ultimately killed her. I've had three journalists reach out to me that have found the vaccine triggering underlying diseases. And someone adds on, the Epoch Times is not a reliable source. What's the point? Somebody else says, this is the reason my father is dying. Another adds, regardless if it's a reliable source or not, it's creating awareness for people to question it. Amen. And someone responds to that, I never heard of CJD, let alone anything about prions. I share weekly about the symptoms to let my FB Facebook friends know this is out there and what to look for. My sister passed last year. The doctors didn't even test for it at first. And this article is the third one I've seen about the jab and prion, so people need or should take it very seriously. Thank you for sharing. And another comment, absolutely. My husband is dying from CJD after receiving the J&J shot. Listen to the number of deaths. It's incredible. You remember, you get prion disease and you're gone. The only question is how long. Somebody writes to Lauren, I'm so sorry about your husband, but J&J is not the same tech as the mRNA vaccines, which this article is speculating about. If what you're saying was the reason, then any traditional vaccine, measles, mumps, and all those, would have caused the same problems.
He's mistaken there. And I have heard this from more than one person. They, for some reason, they're under the impression that the J&J and the AstraZeneca are traditional vaccines. They're not. They're transfection vehicles, protein expression vectors. They're just using a different way of doing it, as opposed to the mRNA. They're using a virus to deliver the genetic material, the code for the spike protein.
That's all it is.
So it's still a gene transfection technology.
just a different car.
Right.
And the adenovirus is very durable outside the body. Remember
yes.
that. There are many different kinds. Michelle writes, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine still has to do with the spike proteins. Regardless, it is a little alarming of people, or for people, coming down with CJD after being vaccinated. I think just a little bit. Yes, I agree, Michelle. Something is causing this that needs to be figured out, because it definitely is more than one in a million and not as rare as they're saying. This needs to be updated and investigated more as to why, especially, what is ESP? Why
I don't
ESP?
Know.
All right, anyway. Well, why it especially seems that there are way more cases recently. Okay, all right. We'll leave it at that. The first poster is commented, or actually responded to in the next post. Lauren, my completely healthy sister had a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, became sick in approximately 1 week, died 4 months later at Emory Hospital in Atlanta. It would take divine interference to make me believe the vaccine didn't do it. Someone comments to that. So sorry anyone has to go through this terrible disease. My husband swore it was that shot when he started with the dizziness and balance. So sorry for your loss. She lost her husband, I believe. My mom's CJD started right after her first shot. Symptoms, anyway. Dizziness, loss of balance, and then it was all downhill from there on. Karen adds, my sister thought it was the shot as well. The doctors at Emory University were not convinced it wasn't triggered by the shot either. So it was reported to the CDC, which is like throwing it down a black hole. Good luck. Good luck. Report away. Okay, I just want you to understand that these are just random cases that come in all the time. And it's never in the mainstream media. Never. Go ahead, number six.
Okay, this is another person. My husband died before the vaccines. What triggered this, or what triggered his? If he had gotten CJD the next year after getting the vaccine, I guess it may have been blamed on the vaccine. But the facts are, it's been around long before the vaccine, and maybe we need to start questioning our farmers as to whether they feed our cows the proper feed and not ground up remains of dead animals.
And now, let me say something about that, if I might, before you get this next one. That's a legitimate concern. Farmers do feed livestock that are slaughtered for human consumption, things they shouldn't. That's a fact. And anyone who eats meat is taking a little bit of a chance when they do that, because those cows can eat ground up sheep or ground up cows.
Feed them anything.
It doesn't matter. Roadkill. Where do you think all the roadkill goes? You know how it disappears? You go by the next time. Where is that deer was there? Gone. They're all picked up by commercial contractors and taken to huge rendering plants. That's what they call them. They put the bodies in these huge vats and boil them and distill them down into liquid and then dry it out and call it protein and put it in cheap pet foods.
Mm-hmm. Sad, but true. Okay, so to that, Lauren replies, this disease has been around, but it was also one in a million. That's not true anymore. My husband's symptoms started right after receiving the vaccine, and he is now dying due to CJD. And another one writes, I'm very interested in this. Is there any evidence to show that the rates of people getting CJD have increased since the vaccines were made available? My dad is dying of CJD at the moment, and it is heartbreaking. He did have the vaccine, but then so did most people. But obviously, if there have been a significant increase in cases from 2021 onwards, then the evidence should speak for itself and cannot be ignored.
Go ahead,
the first one replies, you don't have the documented data to to say it's not one in a million. It's just we have this group, and it seems that way. And it seems that way, but that's true of everything in life until you are affected by something, you are not aware of it. And then the last one, she says to that, who knows what triggered his? You may never know. All I know is that there has been a huge uptick in CJD since the vaccine was released. Coincidence? I don't know. But it sure is worth looking into. My mom's symptoms started within days of the first shot.
All right, connect the dots, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be back and continue with much more in just a few minutes. Hold on.